It would be weird if I introduced myself, wouldn't it? Yeah. So that's why I flew this guy in from Alaska from tracking grizzly bears. And so
they were tracking me, actually.
Tim, that's my sister, Kathy.
Nice to meet you, Kathy. Wow, cool. Cool that you're here. Yeah.
Have you ever met him?
No, nope, we've never met.
Have you ever met Heather? Okay, good.
Hi, Heather.
Have you ever met Tim? Oh, what about you?
High school. Remember?
High school.
That's you? You look great.
That's pretty amazing. We're going to go on the road. This is the whole show. This.
Oh, boy.
We just do this. And we keep threatening to play. But it never really happens. And I act like I'm going to play. And I pick up the guitar. And then finally something happens. Oh, you got a Bahootensie poster. Good, good, good. Barnett. Did you guys meet Barnett, who runs this whole place? And you know it's how to pronounce his name? You want to say Barnett. It's Barnett. Anyways, he printed out 200 of those posters, and he's giving them out. So, oh, they're $5. He's not giving them out. That's practically free, right? Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get introduced by the great Tim Bloom.
Thank you, Steve Pultz. I am up here to introduce a very special man whose name is Steve Pultz. This is Steve Pultz, as you all know, a wonderful, magical human being that we are all very lucky to know. And welcome to the second annual Bahootensie Festival here at Joshua Tree. Music festival and songwriting school, which was a wonderful experience for those of us that got to enjoy that. Without further ado, from Nashville, Tennessee, weighing in at 98 pounds. Is that welterweight? What is that? I don't even know.
Featherweight.
The featherweight champion of the world, Steve Pultz.
I love you more. We staggered outside, two figures imposing, bobbing and weaving, the pubs were all closing. Stumbled upstairs as the rain started pouring. The roommate was naked and passed out and snoring. Then I believe I drunk dialed your number. My hands started shaking, I felt encumbered. I poured a tumbler with a bourbon with rocks. Your voice sounded just like a music box. Voice sounded just like a music box. No pain, no gain. I drive you insane. Left in the rain. My heart is stained. you yelled in my ear for me to get home. But the party was raging, so I dropped the phone. We tripped outside as the sun started rising. Tried to buy more, but it was false advertising. Then I believe we trolleyed to Mexico. We shot tequila, the sun was aglow. I dialed your number at the phone by the docks. Your voice sounded just like a music box. Voice sounded just like a music box. No pain, no gain. I drive you insane, left in the rain. My heart is stained. I hope we're not through. P.S. I love you. Well, we almost got locked up for public urination, but we paid off the cops right in front of the station. We sheepishly crossed the international border, and back in the States, our lives were in order. Then I believe I finally came home. I said I was sorry, you look so alone. I stripped all the way to my boxes and socks. Your voice sounded just like a music box. Voice sounded just like a music box. No pain, no gain. You drive me insane. I am to blame. My heart is stained. Hope with not through. P.S. I love you.
Oh my God. That's a song I wrote called Music Box. It's so special for me to be here tonight. My heart is so full. I feel so grateful, and I'm standing not too far from where I graduated from high school at Palm Springs High School way back in the year of 1978, and my sister's here. And she graduated from Palm Springs High School as well in 1976. And she drove a brown Dodge Demon that was three on the tree. And on the back there was a bumper sticker, and the bumper sticker said, "Give Jesus a chance." And she had these friends she'd fallen in with who were dope-smoking born-again Christians, and it was really hip to be a born-again Christian in 1975 and 1976. And so Kathy put that sticker on the back, and then she took me to Shakey's Pizza Parlor in Palm Springs, and I brought my best friend Moki, and Moki was the guy I hung out with every day. We had a paper route for the Desert Sun newspaper in Palm Springs, and we had a huge paper route, and we would ride our bicycles, and I was so good at throwing the paper and making it land right on the front porch, and I had a little booklet, and I'd go and knock on the doors. "Hi, I'm Steve Poulton, and I'm your paper boy, and I'm just here to collect." And sometimes they give me a 50-cent tip, and it was such a lot of money. I'd be, "That guy gives you a 50-cent tip. You gotta always make sure you have his paper. Come there." And sometimes they'd lecture you. "My paper was in my lawn this week, and the sprinklers came on, and I'm so sorry about that." And I got so quick at folding the papers, and I combined, Moki and myself, we went, "Let's get another paper route. I've always been an overachiever." So we signed up under a false name, Bert Roderick. And so we had three paper routes combined delivering the Desert Sun. And me and Moki made more money. And then Moki got a job at Swenson's Ice Cream Parlor on Palm Canyon Drive. And so I got a job at Market Basket, which was where the Palm Springs Mall was gonna be built. And so I worked, and I was in the grocer's union. I was a union guy as a box boy. And I was so good at boxing groceries, I'd always love it if somebody came up and they had a bunch of cans of soup, because I would be so fancy, like Tom Cruise in Cocktail. I'd be like, and if a really cute girl came with her mom and then they were getting groceries, there'd be like four of us that were box boys. There'd be like this mad dash, and you'd know there was some hot girl, because you wanted to bag their groceries, because then you'd say to the mom, "Would it be okay if I walked out your groceries?" And what are they going to say? No. And then you walk them out, and you're walking this cute girl out with her mom, and we all had a big comb in our back pocket with the big handle, and my hair was feathered back. It was like feathered back, you know how David Cassidy's was? It was cut perfectly and feathered back, and you'd comb your hair real quick, and then you'd bring their groceries out to them. "I just brought out Tanya's groceries." And then Tanya turned out to be my neighbor, and I had this dog named Bojo, and he was the horniest dog in the world. That dog, we never got it fixed. Things were different in the 70s. Your parents would smoke in the car with you in it, and if it was a cold day in Palm Springs in the winter, which it does get cold, as you guys know from last night, and you'd say to your mom as she's going for groceries, "Mom, I can't breathe," because she'd be smoking a cigarette. "It's too cold. Leave the windows up. You'll be okay." And then they flew us, you know, to Hawaii. It was a big deal, and they'd have a smoking section on a plane. And it'd sit there, and my parents wanted to sit in that. "You can sit in the row heads, no smoking there." And the smoke is all over the plane. And then my mom would take me for a drive to Riverside to see some friends that were teachers. And I go, "Mom, I'm getting in the car. Where's the seatbelt?" "Oh, you don't have to wear that. Like, don't put that on. It could choke you to death." Like, they would come up with these ideas. It was a totally different time. It was the 80s. It was a different time. No, it was the 70s. It was a different time. And so by the time I became 16 years old at Palm Springs High, I knew who to buy Quaaludes from. And there were two kinds of Quaaludes. There were Roarer 714s. And there were lemons. The lemons were shitty compared to the Roarers. And so we would take Quaaludes and go to home economics class. And we'd be high on Quaaludes. And I named myself Captain Quaalude. It was crazy. And so I had this whole secret life going to Palm Springs High. It was a totally secret life that nobody could know about. Certain people, I compartmentalized my life. So I was really into singing and was, you know, partially raised by my gay Uncle Louie. And I thought everybody was raised with gayness, you know? And but my friends weren't. And we would go outside to play a game, and the game was like a augmented game of football with no football rules, but they called the game Smear the Queer. And so we go out there not thinking that's anything bad, and kids would come over the house. Is Steve home? My mom would go, he's playing Smear the Queer. He's over in the dirt lot. Like, could you imagine somebody doing that today? Smear the Queer? What the fuck? And so, you want to play Smear the Queer? Like, it became like the Beatles. You don't think of the Beatles anymore as a bug, but when you first heard it, you become desensitized to this stuff. And so my uncle always had a different gay boyfriend he'd bring home, because my uncle was living in Cape Breton, and I was from Nova Scotia, and if you were from Cape Breton in the early 60s, that was no place for a gay man to be. That was like Brokeback Mountain type stuff. Everything had to be on the down low. So my uncle moved out to Pasadena, and he would come to Palm Springs. Palm Springs always had this underground gay scene, but there weren't rainbow flags and everybody flying it. So for anybody that thinks the world sucks really bad today, think of how much progress we've made. The gay bar was called Gaff. You know what Gaff is backwards?
Oh, no.
Seriously, that's the name of the gay bar where my uncle went. It was called Gaff. And it was a secret bar out in the desert. And that's where my uncle was able to go. And he was able to meet other men. And so he would bring his boyfriend home for Christmas. A boyfriend that I still keep in touch with. I love him. My uncle is deceased now, Uncle Louie, but he would bring Jim over. And I would like, Uncle Louie, I hope you stay with Jim. I really like him. Because there would be different guys coming home. And so Uncle Louie was the one who actually taught me to sing and be in front of a crowd. So he would put on these recitals in Palm Springs, and then we'd all go out to this racist restaurant called Sambo's. That was the fucking name of this place. Pictures of people, like African-American people, like that, as I don't even know the way they're dressed up, and it was called Sambo's based on this thing. And so there I was in Palm Springs. Can we go to Sambo's? Okay, only after you play Smear the Queer. And then you'd go in there, and you'd be talking to the realtor, and the realtor would talk to my mom and dad, and I wanted to live in the north end of Palm Springs. I'll never forget this. And the realtor in Palm Springs back in those days goes, you don't want to live in the north end. She goes, it's a little dark. And you're like, what the fuck? Who talks like that? But as a kid, you don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean? They don't have electricity? Like, people, think about how much progress we've made. Yes, there's many problems here. But you didn't grow up with a realtor thinking it was okay to say, it's a little dark. And you didn't live across the street from a woman who was a prostitute, a high-end prostitute, who would go out with men, and she would wear a mink stole like Zsa Zsa Gabor. Fur was acceptable, and she'd wear it proud, and she'd go, oh, look at the mink stole they got. And the people would come over, it'd be the 60s, and my parents would go out and take us out to their friend's house for parties, and they'd be laughing. They'd go, Jack just left. He was so drunk, he ran over the mailbox. And everybody going, ah! Everybody be smoking their cigarettes. I'm telling you people, it was a different time. You have no idea. We are making progress, and the pendulum will always swing in different ways. It's crazy. And so there we were living in Palm Springs, man. And then all I really wanted to do was sing. And I tried out for the choir, and they went, wow, you're really good. And I said, that's because my Uncle Louie taught me. And then I'd go leave choir practice, and I'd go to my friend's house, and they'd put on Black Sabbath. And I go, do you have any Liza Minnelli? Please, please, put on some Streisand. And they would look at me, what the hell is wrong with that kid? And so I realized I couldn't tell them I loved being in choir. So at first I was in concert choir with like 40 people, and there's nothing more powerful than the sound of 40 people singing. Sopranos, tenors, altos, bass. It's so gorgeous. And then they went, whoa, this kid's good. Let's put him in madrigals with all the seniors, even though he's in ninth grade. And I got to be in madrigals, and then we would travel to Coachella, Indio, and then I was like, man, I'm singing these songs, and the songs were like, Fana canzone senza notanere, se ma bramas di la mia grazia vere. And I learned to sing these songs in these different languages, and I learned I had a knack for it. And then I got into choir, church choir at St. Teresa's Catholic Church, just down the valley there in Palm Springs. And that's where I first got my very first kiss with Tamara Burt. Tammy, a blonde, long legs, gorgeous. She played guitar better than I could, and we were the two guitarists in folk mass, and we had nylon strings guitars, and we would sing those songs and play those songs, and the songs would be like, it's a brand new day, everything is fine. Though it may be gray, I want you to know that the sun's gonna shine. And out of that sky, piercing every cloud, is our God on high. Thank you, Jesus. We will be a new life. And so then I'm in concert choir and madrigals and church choir. None of my friends could know about the madrigals thing because they would have said, that's gay. So then I'm in church choir, and then my sister's hanging out with her friend Darcelle. Could you stand up real quick and turn around so they can see you? That's when my sister discovers Jesus and goes, you need to be born again or you're going to hell. That's what she said. So Kathy then decides not only is she going to be a born-again Christian, she's going to be a dope-smoking born-again Christian. Yeah! So then her best friend Darcelle comes over to the house, and I get Moki, and they said, you guys want to go to Shakey's Pizza Parlor and play Breakout? And Breakout was a high-tech video game in the 70s. It was the next step up from Pong, if you remember Pong. Yeah. And Atari came out with Breakout, where it would bounce off of the thing, and then you'd have to knock out all the bricks that are up there. It was an amazing game. So before we went in to play Breakout, Kathy and Darcelle come over, and they pick me and Moki up, and they go, do you guys want to get stoned? It was like that movie, the one that Linklater made, and it's such a good movie where it's Dazed and Confused. It was like that. So I was a young kid getting to hang out with the older kids. So Kathy gets her friend Darcelle, and Darcelle would never wear a bra. And me and Moki were in ninth grade. We had zits. And if somebody wasn't wearing a bra, we'd just go, NB. NB for no bra. And so we're in the back seat of the car, and Darcelle's there, and we're seeing a little bit of side boob. She's got that, you know, tank top on where it's a little loose there. And you can see the boob moving around. And Moki's going, MB, MB, MB. And by the way, we were in ninth grade, but neither of us had hair on our balls or anywhere yet. And everybody else already had gone through puberty, had hair. And so me and Moki were best friends. We talked about everything. I go, do you have hair on your dick yet? He go, no. And then I go, I don't either. So we would walk through the desert where Farrell Drive is. There was now a golf course next to that from Palm Springs High leading down to San Mateo Circle. So back then it was just all desert. And so we walked through the desert, and we buried our dirty magazines in the dirt there. And then I remember as we were walking there home from school, Moki goes, you know, I was talking to Rodney today, and he said if you rub buttermilk on your dick and balls, it'll grow hair, and you'll go through puberty. And I go, let's go do it. I still got about 70 cents left. And he's like, I got 37 cents. So we went in a Market Basket, and we bought a little quart of buttermilk. And then before we walked home, we both stood there in front of each other and just went, pulled our pants down. You really don't have hair, do you? No. And then we opened the thing up, took our pants off, under God in the desert with our dirty magazines on the ground with dirt on them. We went, shh. And then we didn't rub it on each other. Although I wanted to, I think. But he didn't. And so then we were rubbing the milk there. Then I was like, how long are we supposed to let it sit here? The buttermilk chunks are on my balls and stuff. And then, I don't know. So we just stood there for a long time. What do we wipe it off with? all we got is a dirty magazine. So we take the picture out. It's like a woman who's got a vacuum between her legs. And we're like, do women really have sex with vacuums? I don't even know where we got this magazine. Probably from the dude at the swap meet that had the number 13 tattooed on his bicep that my sister bought the weed from when she went to the swap meet. So I rip out the picture of the girl with the vacuum between her legs, and I used that as a napkin, but it was slick pages, and it was just so hard, I remember, to get the thing off, so we had to grab dirt from the desert, like that's there, out there, and that stuck to the area there, and I remember walking home being so uncomfortable, and then I had to take my pants off, take a shower, thinking you get the dirt out. My mom's like, why do you have dirt on the inside of your underwear? And my mom was very strict and very Catholic. So we end up getting stoned with Darcelle. She's not wearing a bra. And then I looked at my sister, and this is how I remember my sister. I will always remember her going like this, it's homegrown. And then she goes, it's got lots of seeds in it. That's good. Like, we didn't know jack shit. Right now, everybody's like, is it indica or sativa? You can go buy whatever you want. No, we had to buy this from a dude who was scratching his balls, who probably had syphilis, that was fresh home from Vietnam with the number 13 tattooed on his bicep. And so Kathy goes, you say it. You and Moki say it. We go, say what, Kathy? Because I just totally looked up to her. Say, I want to get high. And so I took the joint, and she goes, wait. And she puts on Steve Miller Band, fly like an eagle. And I remember going, and the seeds were crackling. And I was like, I start coughing, and then Darcelle leaned over with her boobs. You could kind of see her nipples, and she goes, if you don't cough, you don't get off. And I was like, that's good? That's good? Is that good? Oh, yeah, that's really good. And then everything was in slow motion with Steve Miller playing. It was the coolest thing. I was listening to Fly Like an Eagle. So then I go in, and I start playing Breakout, and I'm so stoned, I came out of my body, and I'm in the corner of the ceiling while playing this game, and I'm having a conversation with myself saying, you're never going to come down. You are never coming down. You shouldn't have done this. You're going to hell. This is the worst thing you've ever done, and you're going to hell, and your mom's going to know. This is it. Everything's over for you. And I was so scared. And then inside Shakey's, they had a player piano that would just play on its own. And all of a sudden, they started it up, and I saw the keys moving, and nobody was playing it, and I started fucking crying. And I looked at the game Breakout, and I said, please take me home. Then she goes, are you ready to accept Jesus now as your personal Lord and Savior? Are ya? Are you ready?
Are you ready for Jesus to come into your life?
So then I had to accept Jesus. Yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. And so I accepted Jesus, came home that night, and I remember my mom goes, what's wrong with you? You're acting strange.
I just want to go to my room and listen to Joni Mitchell.
So I end up thinking about all that, and now Breakout, I got really good at Breakout. So then years later, my parents are still alive. I get a gig at a place called Pappy and Harriet's, right? So it's over there in Pioneer Town. So it was my first time playing Pappy and Harriet's. I come back to the desert. I had done a show the day before on Sirius XM, and they used to have a channel called The Loft. And so I would go into The Loft, and usually they would interview you for 5 minutes. This guy, Mike Marone, would interview you, and then he'd play a song of yours. Well, he interviewed me the first time, and I just did a filibuster where I started talking like I'm doing right now, and I started telling him stories. Well, he starts laughing so hard, he starts asking me more stories, and then he goes, I was wondering, could you just interview yourself? And I go, yeah. So I interviewed myself, so it turned into this hour special. I think you can find it on something online. And then he invited me back. I did 3 more over the years where he'd go, you just go on for an hour, and it's a loft session, but you interview yourself and answer the questions. So I would go on and do that. So I was doing it, driving around in Northern California was a gentleman who had one of those big Hummers. He was listening to Sirius XM. He had every iteration of the iPhone that had come out and every Android phone that had come out, and he had a satellite dish on top of his Hummer. So he's listening to me on Sirius XM radio, doing what I'm doing, like I'm talking to you right now. He's driving down the road. He starts laughing. He grabs his wife and says, "We are going right now from Northern California. This guy's playing tomorrow night at Pappy and Harriet's. We're going to go see him play because of this." So I bring my mom and dad up to Pappy and Harriet's, and I'm getting ready to play, and this guy walks up to me. He hands me a sheet of uncut $2 bills, whole bunch of $2 bills. And I look at him, I'm like, "Steve Wozniak?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Whoa, dude, I'm like an Apple fanboy," back when it was cool to say you were an Apple fanboy. And I really was an Apple fanboy back then. And so he goes, I go, "How did you get these uncut $2 bills? And he goes, "I have friends in the U.S. Treasury." So Steve Wozniak starts talking to me, and I don't have to go on for another half hour. So as he's talking to me, this is how weird the world is and how weird the universe works. He says to me, "Oh man, back in the day when I first met Steve Jobs, we would phone freak people and we'd call them up because we figured out how to make free phone calls by scamming through these touch tone phones that were digital, and they would call up the Vatican and ask for the Pope." Like, back when you could do that kind of thing, there wasn't like voicemail and shit like that. And so he's telling me the story. He goes, "Oh yeah, that was after Steve Jobs ripped me off." I go, "What do you mean he ripped you off?" He goes, "Well, we hadn't started Apple Computer yet, but I was an engineer and I was working for like IBM." And he goes, "And I invented this game in my garage, and the game is called Breakout." Right now I'm listening to him tell me this, and everything I just told you is going like a fast movie, going, and I'm going, "You're the guy that invented Breakout?" And Steve Wozniak goes, "Yeah, I invented Breakout." And I go, "Dude," and I didn't know how to tell the story, I got so excited, I go, "Darcel used to never wear a bra." And he's like, "What?" And I go, wait, what I mean is, my sister got me stoned and took me to Shakey's, and I was so high playing Breakout. I was obsessed with the game, but I thought I'd never come down from the pot. And he goes, "Oh, man. Well, I gave the thing for Steve Jobs to sell because Steve Jobs was like this born salesman." So he goes, "Steve Jobs took it over to Atari and he sold it to Atari for $22,000. And then he came back and he told Wozniak he sold it for $2,000. Gave Wozniak $1,000, and Jobs kept all of the extra money. And I go, "What an asshole." I couldn't believe it. He goes, "But he's a really good guy too." But that was how everything became full circle. So then Steve Jobs ended up dying. I became very close with Wozniak. I'm still close with him. And so when Steve Jobs died, I was like, sometimes I just take a chance and think, can I pull this off? Right after the news broke of Steve Jobs dying, I go, "Hey, Woz, did you know what Steve Jobs' last words were?" And he goes, "No, what?" And this is right after he died. I go, "I died," with a little I and a big D. "I died." And then he sends back, "Oh my God, I needed to hear that right now. Thank you." And I was scared. I thought he was going to just ghost me on it, because sometimes I say shit and I know I push it too far. But no guts, no glory, right? No pain, no gain. And so Wozniak has now come to so many shows. It's just been funny that my life standing up here, I was just thinking of all that. And so I'm sorry I told you such a quick story. But I just wanted you to know how happy I am to be here and to be in the desert air and feel the spirit and the spirits of my past, because I don't know if time is really real. I really don't understand how it all works. And if the earth is billions of years old and we're only here for maybe 90 years, it's just a blink of an eye. And what is real and what is the future and what isn't? And for me to be back here and to stand on stage, it brings me back to singing in madrigals and how we would get to go sing this before a pep rally, and we would sing our alma mater, and it was so beautiful. In the silence of the desert, where the sands of silver shine, stands our glorious alma mater. 'Tis our haven and our shrine. Be we humble in her presence, for her blessings never fail. Palm Springs is our alma mater, so to her, all hail, all hail. I hope somebody's taping this show, because I could never do that story that way again. This is a song about before I got into Palm Springs High and I went to Nellie Kaufman Junior High. Back then, junior high was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. Before that, I was at Kaweah Elementary and St. Teresa's. So this is for all the Nellie Kaufman Cougars out there. Before the word cougar meant what it does today. We practiced basketball all summer in hopes that we would make the junior high squad. We ran our asses off that summer in hopes that we'd wear those blue and white tank tops, bouncing balls in the gym for all the ninth grade cheerleaders. We practiced basketball all fall. The ball would swish right through the net. Me and my best friend Moki, we stood about 5'2" and 98 pounds, soaking wet. But only 15 guys can make that team. Me and Moki, we had a dream. 15 guys, he said, yeah. We were hoping it'd be both of us. It'd be both of us. Mr. Hamilton doubled as the art teacher and the basketball coach. He was a nice enough man. He stood 6'7", played some college ball. We always hoped that if we took his art class, he'd like us more and he'd need us. Yeah, he'd need us. Oh, he'd need us on his team. But only 15 guys can make that squad. Every night I prayed to God. 15 guys, he said, yeah. We were hoping it'd be both of us. Please, Jesus, let it be both of us. He said he'd post those names on Sunday in the afternoon. He said he'd put those 15 names up by 2, and that maybe there'd be 4 alternates added at the bottom. We rode our bikes down the long hallway in the junior high. Our hearts were pounding and the sweat was rolling. It was pouring down our eyes. I'll never forget how long that hallway seemed. And I can still see the names in the big black felt pen. Moki's name was listed in the 7th spot. We jumped for joy than my name we looked for, but it was nowhere to be found. It was nowhere to be found. I tried to ride my bike out of that hallway and the tears were falling. Coach Renfro stood there at the corner of the gym. He was the wrestling coach. He said, "Hey, Poults, what's the matter with you?" He said, "I need you on the wrestling team. I need a 98-pounder. I need a 98-pounder. Hey, everyone just wants to be needed. Everyone just wants to be greeted with a big hello. Everyone just wants to be needed. And where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" So the whole thing happened exactly like that. It was so embarrassing to cry in front of the other guys who all showed up at the same time, and mine was the only name who didn't make the team. And it was like one of those things where something really bad could have happened had Coach Renfro not said, "Hey, Poults, how much you weigh?" And I go, 92. And he goes, "You could eat some grilled cheese sandwiches. They'll be serving them in Bahutensee in 2023. And I was like, "What's Bahutensee?" He goes, "Oh, you're going to know a lot about it. It's going to be cool. It's going to be an intimate, really different kind of thing. It will be in the shadow of Coachella, but Coachella will be a whole different thing. You're going to have your own little vibe and throw out cool vibrations, and it's going to become something like a little seedling where things will just grow and people will learn to write songs." And I was like, "You're a great time traveler, Coach Renfro." And so there I was on the wrestling team and playing in church choir at St. Teresa's Catholic Church. And I'm in the choir with Tamara Burt, long legs, blonde hair, and the first girl I kissed. And my dad had a Cadillac Coupe de Ville, 1974 or 75, and he took me to take Tammy out on a date, and we saw Planet of the Apes. And then drove back up. Their house was below where Bob Hope's is, and they lived in Rimrock, this Rim Mary or something up there underneath there. And so my dad dropped us back off, and then Tammy was getting out of the back seat, and my dad kicked my foot, and he goes, "Walk her to the door. Walk her to the door." And I go, "Okay." And then he goes, "Are you going to kiss her?" And I go, "I don't know." And I walked up to the door. "Hey, it was really fun seeing Planet of the Apes with you, Tammy." "Yeah, it was great seeing it with you, too." And then we leaned in for the most awkward kiss. Maybe a little bit of tongue. Like two lizard tongues just went real quick. I remember I got back in the car and I could smell her saliva on my lip as it dried, and I was like, and everything was so new to me, all my olfactory senses, and I was so into that kiss from Tammy Burt. And then, as the world works in weird and mysterious ways and the universe works, there I was. I end up playing High Sierra Music Festival. I'm there at High Sierra Music Festival, and everybody's like, "You're from Palm Springs originally? Yeah, you gotta meet this guy, Barnett." I go, "Who's Barnett?" "Oh, he does this thing called Java Go-Go." "What's Java Go-Go?" "Oh, he does all the coffee there at High Sierra Music Festival." "You gotta meet him. He does his own festival, Joshua Tree Music Festival." "Joshua Tree Music Festival, I've heard of it. I would love to play Joshua Tree Music Festival." "Dude, you gotta meet Barnett. I'll introduce you to Barnett." "You think I could play Joshua Tree Music? Dude, you play High Sierra. Barnett will love you." I go, "Well, I did grow up in Palm Springs.
Springs. I went to Palm Springs High. I proceeded him to tell the story about, you know, Darcel's nipples and Sambo's and everything else. And he looked at me like, oh, just calm down, Charlie Sheen. And so then there I was talking to him. And then he goes over there and he introduces me to Barnett. And I go, I grew up in Palm Springs. I still tell him Barnett everything that I needed to know about all that. And then he goes, why don't you come play Joshua Tree Music Festival? I was like, I never thought you'd ask. So there I was playing Joshua Tree Music Festival. As luck would have it, it was advertised. Who saw it? Because it was advertised out in Los Angeles. Tammy Burt. And so she sees Steve Pultz is playing. So she shows up, and I'm over at that other stage right over there. I can see the exact moment. And I look up, and she goes, hey, it's Tammy Burt. And I go, what? I go, you are the first girl I kissed. I've always wanted to tell her that and everything. I go, I wanted you to know. It meant so much to me. And I proceed to tell her a story about her dried saliva and the way it smelled on my lip, as I'm wont to do, because the gatekeeper that keeps words from coming out of my mouth most of the time is asleep. So I start telling her that. And I go, stand up so people can see you. And she stands up and she goes, this is my wife. And I go, was the kiss that bad? You switched teams. And that was her wife. And now we're great friends. It's amazing. How cool is that? I go like this. I look right at my lesbian friends. How cool was that? I'm going to go... I need to film myself going, only the lesbians. When I say how cool was that, all the lesbians go, that's cool. But instead of the lesbians saying it, just the guys go, that's cool. And then I film it and put it on Instagram just to fuck with people. Not just the lesbians. That's cool. We'll do that later. Okay. By the way, have you met Tammy Burt? Oh, I got to introduce you. I mean, I know you're taken probably and everything, but I would love you to meet. Would you like to meet her? Okay, I'm going to facilitate this. All right. Speaking of gay, I always thought that I was really sad that guys wouldn't write songs to another guy. You know, like in the 60s and 70s, it was always like a guy singing about a girl. And, you know, things had to be closeted. They had to be hidden. You know, Rock Hudson had to be, you know, this straight male, and that's okay. It was just, life is weird. Everything moves at a glacial pace. But I was raised always with this sense of gayness, and I'm so happy for that because it sort of turned me into who I am, and I was an early adapter of gayness, you know, compared to my friends and stuff. And so I would say to my Uncle Louie, Uncle Louie, why don't more men write songs to other men? And he goes, you need to do it, boy. You do it, boy. And he always called me boy. And I go, I'm going to do it. I'm going to write a gay anthem. And so I ended up starting this band called the Rugburns. And I wrote this song that became kind of a Rugburns underground hit. Next thing I know, we got written up as a queercore band. And then all these bears would show up. And there's still a video of a guy, a bear, lip singing it. This song, and I was like, I really did write a gay anthem. Hey, you're listening to Steve Pultz on WXR2 out of Chicago. We're going to take it back a bit, and he's going to do a Rugburn song for y'all. My boyfriend, he's so sexy. He takes me all the way to Mexico. Oh, 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 oh. So sexy. He don't care if I dance with other fellas. He's a gentle bear, ain't a big gorilla, no. Oh, 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 oh. We could eat French food or hit a greasy diner. He could guzzle beer or something finer. Give me any grief, he'll give you a shiner. He's as tough as an old coal miner. And best of all, he ain't no sniveling whiner, 'cause he's my boyfriend. He's so sexy.
He takes me all the way to Mexico. Oh, 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 oh. He don't care if I dance with other fellas. He don't care if I dance with other. He's a gentle bear. He's a gent, not a big gorilla. Not a big gorilla, no. Oh, 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 oh. Make that sexier. No. Oh, 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 oh. Nice. He's got a bitchin' car and it's really nice. He's my Latin lover, he's got lots of spice. He's gonna put me in the movies no matter the price. We go together like beans and rice. He wears his hair like Jesus Christ, 'cause he's my boyfriend. He's so sexy. He takes me all the way to Mexico. Oh, oh, oh. Come on. He don't care if I dance with other fellas. He don't care if I... He's a gentle bear, not a big gorilla. He's a gentle bear. He ain't a big gorilla, no. Sexier. Thank you. Now's the point of the song. As a songwriter, and a lot of songwriters here, where you have the big dilemma. To bridge or not to bridge. This is a song that starts on the chorus. If ever you have a song that starts on the chorus, you probably need a bridge because you're going to be doing the chorus one extra time. So what a bridge does is it takes you out of where you were in that, and it's like a song within a song. It could be the omniscient voice, or it could just be a moralizing voice. It could be anything. So here goes the bridge. So if you're in the key of A, this is what you do. Go to an F sharp minor to do the bridge. I've searched the city streets. Jumped off the World Trade Center. It was obviously pre-9/11. Jumped off the World Trade Center, but I landed on my feet. He picks me up at 8 and he goes beep, beep, beep. I slide right down the stairs into his Naga Hide seat. A wrist corsage and some chocolate sweets. Chocolate sweets! That's what everybody in the audience would do. And we would play shows at the Casbah in San Diego and they'd throw chocolate sweets up to the stage. People would bring us wrist corsages. It was fucking awesome. And then I was like, okay, it needs one more verse. And if you're gonna have three verses in a song, as a songwriter to songwriter, make your last verse the fucking one that kills. Because if you've already done some good ones, you really need to dig down deep and find a good verse. And this one was handed to me like a big fat softball when I wrote it. The words were just coming at me. This verse wrote itself and I was like, oh my God, thank you. Here goes. If I don't wanna walk, then we take a cab. He's as courageous as Captain Ahab. Let me tell you folks, he's so fab. He stuck with me through drug rehab. He carries my cup to the urine sample lab, 'cause he's my boyfriend. Right? Had to go last. All the way to Mexico. He don't care if I dance with other fellas. Come on now. Here it goes.
He don't care if I dance with
He's a gentle bear, not a big gorilla.
He's a gentle bear,
not a
big gorilla.
Now sexy. More like Donna Summer and I Love to Love You, Baby. Keep that going. He's my boyfriend. Yeah, yeah, my funky boyfriend. Yeah, 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 he's my boyfriend. Yeah, yeah, my funky boyfriend. Yeah, he's my boyfriend. Yeah, yeah, my fa fa fa. And I'm his.
Love it, folks.
I love you guys. Hey man, how about a round of applause for my friend Maya DeVitri?
Is Maya around right now? Oh, good. Could you come up here, Maya? This is my good friend, Maya DeVitri. I love her so much. How you doing? You could use that mic if you want.
I love it here.
I didn't know I was going to talk so much.
I love it here.
Oh, my gosh. Maya came over to my house and we wrote this song. This is on my latest record, Stardust and Satellites. I opened up my messages, we haven't had a chance to talk in a while. I thought of going back, but going back involves going plenty of miles. Miles in my heart, miles in my mind. Everywhere I look, I'm looking behind. Miles in my heart, miles in my mind. As if I'm gonna know where I was going this time.
I got it now.
I remember writing this with you. And what did we do in the middle of it? Didn't Sharon make us a meal?
Sharon made us spaghetti. The meal lasted longer than songwriting.
I've been reading books in the middle of the night. It's a new lifestyle. I'm always waking up with the candle in my hand on the cool, cool tile. Miles in my heart, miles in my mind. Everywhere I look, I'm looking behind. Miles in my heart, miles in my mind. As if I'm gonna know where I was going this time. I don't wanna go alone. Oh, I don't wanna go alone. Oh,
I wanna do that whole bridge again because I'm so into it.
Forgive me for the words I've spoken out of haste. I wanna wreck inside. It's been a couple years. I've been busy lighting matches and burning miles. Miles in my heart, miles in my mind. Everywhere I look, I'm looking behind. Miles in my heart, miles in my mind. As if I'm gonna know where I was going this time. Miles in my heart, miles in my mind. Everywhere I look, I'm looking behind. Miles in my heart, miles in my mind. As if I'm gonna know where I was going this time. Hey, let's do this one. Then we wrote this.
After the spaghetti.
There was an optimist in the corner. Even he was looking sad. Said I was opt to be kissed. Now I'm lost in the mist. And I'm feeling kind of bad. He said, sometimes things go sideways.
I got it now.
Makes me want to yell. So he's running to the top of the mountain. Afford to ring that optimist bell. Ring, 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 I'm on a ring, 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 I'm on a ring that optimist bell. Here's to hoping that your ears are open when you ring that optimist bell. There was an antelope eating cantaloupe, and in the market and looking blue, she said, I've fallen in love with a donkey, but my parents don't approve. They said an antelope can't elope, and that ain't really swell. So they're running away to the preacher, afford to ring that optimist bell. Ring, 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 they're gonna ring, 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 they're gonna ring that optimist bell. Here's to hoping that your ears are open when you ring that optimist bell. There was a chihuahua in a doghouse, just a shaking in his tracks, with the skunk outside his window making stinky wisecracks. The scent came through the cabin and it made an awful smell. Well, the chihuahua took a tomato sauce bath and went to ring that optimist bell. Ring, 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 I'm gonna ring, 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 I'm gonna ring that optimist bell. Here's to hoping, here's to hoping that your ears are open when you ring that optimist bell. There was a monkey named Albert flying up to planet Mars. He smuggled in his best friend, the chihuahua, and they marveled at the stars. Well, the monkey looked at the chihuahua and said, man, you really smell. So they parachuted out of that rocket ship and floated, ring that optimist bell. Ring, 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 they're gonna ring, 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 we're gonna ring that optimist bell. Here's to hoping that your ears are open when you ring that optimist bell. Well, the optimist stood in the corner and he still looked kind of sad. He said, the signs all point to dying and the times all lead to bad, but even sunshine comes in sideways and revolutions come in swells. So they're bounding to the top of that mountain, afford to ring that optimist bell. Come on now. Ring, 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 I'm gonna ring, 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 I'm gonna ring that optimist bell. Here's to hoping that your ears are open when you ring that optimist bell. Here's to hoping that your ears are open when you ring that optimist bell. Maya DeVitri. Thank you so much. Gosh. We wrote a classic together. We really did. And some people were saying to me, some of the other songwriters said, what made you think of that? And I said, well, Sharon and myself, we went to a flea market in Nashville, and there was a sign that said, The Optimist. And we brought it and nailed it to the wall of our living room where it sits. And it was just sitting there going, hello, I have a subject for you to write about. And I just walked by it with my oats and checking my Facebook page and stuff like that. I'm over here. Could you fucking sing the song and do it? And then one day I walked by and I went, what? Are you talking to me? And the song was like, yes. Didn't you read the book by Tom Robbins, Skinny Legs and All? A sock from a foot of a construction worker, a can of beans and a spoon, and the sock cusses because it was on the foot of the construction worker, has a foul mouth, and the spoon was from a convent and blushes but has a crush on the sock,
And then the can of beans got put on the international food sections and always spouts off all kinds of stuff about world politics.
Well, that's what that sign did to me, because these inanimate objects actually talk to us, you guys. You just gotta listen. This is good weed, man. And so you listen to those signs, and the signs will tell you what's going on. They really will. We're just not always listening, and the songs are out there, and you gotta catch them and write them down, or else Bob Dylan's gonna get them. And what do you wanna do about that, man? He's got enough of them. You guys deserve some of them. And I've watched the progress that you guys have made, and it's just been really cool. And then we had like new students this year that showed up, and oh my gosh, there's a guy that showed up that opened for me at the Siren in Los Osos or Morro Bay. Where is Derek? Are you here, Derek?
Derek.
Hey, come up here. I want to ask you something. Could you just come up here? So Derek was a student in the class. He was a student. What, did he die? So Derek is a student.
Derek's a songwriter.
Yeah. Derek is a student. Derek is a student. Derek is, yes. Derek is a student. Derek is, yes. Oh, yes. Derek is a student. Derek is, yes. Derek is a student. Derek is, yes. Oh, yes. Derek is a student. Derek is, yes. Derek is a student. Derek is, yes. Oh, yes. Derek is a student. Derek is, yes. Derek is a student. Derek is, yes. Oh, yes. Derek is a student. Derek is a little student. He's a student, and he was so nice. So it was his first time coming here, and so...
Yeah!
I gave a song assignment, and the song assignment was, like last year, you could write a song you'd want played at your memorial, because there were some new people that come in, and I wanted them to have that option, because that's a powerful thing. It can be very funny. It would be a song you'd write that you'd want sung. So I put this on last year, put it on this year, and because of Bahootensee, I end up getting invited next weekend to Brandi Carlile's festival, Mothership, to teach songwriting. Two classes, because she hears about how this is going. We're spreading this out and letting people write songs, and it's kind of cool. So all I'm saying is, if I do Bahootensee again, I'm going to steal some of those Brandi Carlile students to come here too. And maybe, who knows, Brandi will even play Bahootensee. You never know, man. You gotta just throw things out into the universe. So here I was, and I'm putting on Bahootensee. And for those of you that don't know what Bahootensee is, it means many blessings, let's go nuts. It's a word my dad made up, and I'm honoring him, Bahootensee. I love the way it sounded. And people were like, you shouldn't call it that. Nobody will be able to pronounce it. Just call it Pulsapalooza. And I was like, fuck you. I'm not calling it Pulsapalooza. I'm so sick of anything that is palooza. Let me use my own word. Perry Farrell got Lollapalooza out. Let him have it. And everybody started just taking it. I wonder how many people are going to steal Bahootensee one day and use that. Who knows? But I was like, I want it to be Bahootensee. You know, I got in a big argument with my manager. He was like, people won't be able to say it. Just Pulsapalooza. I go, no. And then my booking agent, Adam, was like, let him fucking call it Bahootensee. And so that's how it became that. Little did I know, people would come up and it would start to mean its own word. So this guy here, Derek, opened for me at the Siren in Morro Bay, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And he opened the show, and then I show up here, and I'm like, he goes, hey, remember me? I opened for you. I go, oh my God, you're here. I gave his son a little pep talk on songwriting because he has a 16-year-old son. So then he ends up, I made people write songs either as their memorial or what the advice they would give their younger self. How cool is that? That's a cool thing. And then Sharon came up with an idea. Why don't you have them write a song to their mothers? Because Mother's Day is coming up. So I gave people three different options. Well, Derek picked giving his younger self advice. And tomorrow you're going to hear people that from the song school at 2:30. They're going to do their songs. That's what's going to start off. And it's going to be beautiful because it's like this
nonstop talent show, and your mind gets blown by some of these people have never written songs. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make the world a better place through music. Because if you create, everybody can write a song. Everybody. I encourage all skill levels. And if you do that, it's the elixir of youth. I'm going to be 64 in February. And as long as I keep writing songs, I feel like no matter what, I'll stay active and agile. So this guy writes a song to his younger self. Tomorrow he'll do it. But it was so cool because I could use it as an advertisement for Bahootensee. So please let Derek sing this song to you.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Get it, Derek! Yeah! Derrickson!
Isn't this the microphone you said yesterday you don't like anyone else to use?
Yes, but I like you.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. I'm gonna take my hat off. Keep. Oh, yeah.
Freedom.
It's been a really great 72 hours of being here and seeing all the song instructors play a full set has just been really spectacular because they are just absolute pros, and just to see them ply their craft has been really cool. And you have, for, oh my gosh, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday have been doing nothing other than showing us a good time and just making this great world for us. So thank you very much. Yeah. So I wrote this. You kind of want to come to these things and you hope that you can write a song that's like universal and that you can play for the rest of your life. I happen to write a song that only applies to like 25 people in the whole entire world, which is sort of like the people that came to the Bahootensee Festival, because there's a bunch of things you need to know in this song for it to even make any sense. Like, you got to know who Steve Pultz is, you got to know who Maya DeVitri is, you got to know who Amber Rubarth is, you got to know who Tim Bloom is, you got to know that Tim Bloom has a band called the Mother Hips, you got to know that Tim Bloom has another festival called the Hypnic. There's a bunch of things going on. Yes, and you got to know there's a song by Rugburns called Dick's Automotive. So, yeah. And you got to know that there's this thing called Bahootensee. So, yeah, lot of information. So, fortunately, like, the myopic, like, worldview that I put into this song, that it applies to, all, like, 27 people are actually here in this room. So, yeah, it's great. And I'll probably never be able to play it ever again anywhere else because no one else will know what it means at all. So, thank you for giving me the chance to play it. Yeah. I had to look at my notebook last night when I played it, but I played it this morning and I think I have it all in my head, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. The Rainbow Girls were playing songs and they said they were playing brand new songs. This is like a brand new song. If you think you're drinking too much, you probably are. If you think you're drinking too much, you probably are. Okay, I have to close my eyes because I wrote the songs on the back of my eyelids. Since I don't have my notebook with me. If you think you're drinking too much, you probably are. Never finance a used car. Work for yourself, don't work for someone else. Learn another language, travel when you're young. Travel when you're old, travel the world and make yourself a home to come home to. A home with you musical instruments, cozy. A home with musical instruments, cozy chairs and books. A home with a kitchen that makes you want to cook. Get a hot tub sooner than later. Build an outdoor shower sooner than later. Make friends, cultivate friendships. Buy Abbey Road and wear a groove in it. Take your kids and go to a Steve Pultz show and then say, hey kids, we're going on a Hypnic. 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 Yeah, go to a Hypnic to see the Mother Hips and watch the women swoon while they watch Tim Bloom. Go back to school at Joshua Tree and learn from professors Rhubarth and Avitri. And if you hear your friend Shay say, go to Hoopahootensee, and if you hear yourself say, oh, I don't know if I can take the time off work. And oh, I don't know if I should spend on such frivolities. Get your head out of your ass, boy. Get your head out of your ass, boy. Get your head out of your ass, boy, and get your ass to Bahoonzie. And put pen to paper, put pen to paper, put pen to paper, and pen a new song. Put pen to paper, put pen to paper, put pen to paper, and pen a few songs. And if you find yourself just shy of 53 and you are presented with the opportunity to go to Bahoonzie, go to Bahoonzie, take it from me. Go to Bahoonzie, listen to 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 me. Go to the Hoopahootensee. Yeah! Thank you very much.
Derek! Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? You guys, this has been so much fun. Wow. What a night this has been. Are you feeling good about yourselves? You sure? Good. I'm glad you're feeling good about yourselves. You know, when I lived here, it was the best thing because I would come back home and I'd go on walks with my dad in the desert. And we would walk everywhere. I would avoid where the empty container of buttermilk was. And... But, you know, I just always thought my mom and dad would be around, you know, like you look around and they're, for me, it was like a constant. And then next thing you know, your mom passes away, and the next thing you know, your dad passes away. And it's within just a couple years of each other. And it was so hard on my dad when he lost my mom. They were together, you know, for over, jeez. I think like 59, 60 years. And so that got me thinking about everything. Bahoonzie, after my dad left. And then when my dad, I said to my dad, you know, if there is anything on the other side, please leave me a message. And he said, what do you want it to be? And I said, I want it to be Indian Joe. Leave me something. Because my dad was a poet and wrote a poem called Indian Joe. And so, you know, you look for those signs. And I never saw a sign, and I was like, oh, well, I guess it's like John Prine said, when you're dead, you're a dead peckerhead. Like, I said, what John Prine's dad told him that, and so I go, oh, well, there's no message. And then out of the blue, that was when I got the text, and it was from my friend. And he goes, I was cleaning out my attic, and I found this old newspaper, and it was an ad of the Rugburns playing with Green Day at SDSU Amphitheater. And I remember you told me that Billy Joe shared his beer with you and you guys were drinking beer backstage. It was at this festival there and Henry Rollins was there and it was like a big day for the Rugburns. And he goes, I found the poster, the ad for the poster in this newspaper, and that was really cool. And so at 3 a.m. he texted me it, and he was kind of drunk, I guess. But what he didn't know was next to it was an article, and the article said Indian Joe traveling the world with acoustic guitar. And he knew nothing about that. I didn't tell anyone. And that just got me thinking, all of us here, we're here right now, and if you're with somebody like Sequoia, you make my heart feel very happy that I've gotten to know you and your dad, Michael, because he took you out here and I just have like this crazy respect for you busking in Central Park at the age of 14. Now you're 16, and you come out here and you're writing these songs, and you have your own style. And I see this happening, and it's just so beautiful, and you're able to be with your dad. And people are here tonight with someone they love. And we're not always going to be on this side of the dirt. And I just pictured us all moving along on a conveyor belt. And that's how this song was gifted to me. We're all on a conveyor belt in a factory on the wheel of time. Yeah, we don't know when our cart clocks out. It was yesterday we were in our prime. Make Mac, click clack. Don't even think about looking back. Kodak soundtrack. I remember when my ma had a heart attack. We're all on a conveyor belt in a factory on the wheel of time. Yeah, we don't know when our cart clocks out. It was yesterday we were in our prime. Tic-tac, tic-tac-toe. Hey, I'm still looking for Indian Joe. Where the hell did my dad go? Maybe we're the river and the rainbow flow. Yeah, maybe we're the river and the rainbow go. Yakety yak at the top of the tree. My love's got a money back guarantee. I'm living now in Tennessee, but I still scream Bahootenzee. Hey, let's go join the Jubilee. Don't let the time run out on me. My mom and dad have gone to see. We're all on a conveyor belt in a factory on the wheel of time. Yeah, we don't know when our cart clocks out. It was yesterday we were in our prime. We're all on a conveyor belt in a factory on the wheel of time. Yeah, we don't know when our cart clocks out. It was yesterday we were in our prime. Seems like yesterday we were in our prime.
I just got time for a couple more. This has been amazing, you guys. We get to do it again tomorrow. Tomorrow we got the Song School devotees, and we've got Glenn Phillips from Toad the Wet Sprocket. My good friend, Lisa Sanders and Brown Sugar. My other really good friend, Keller Williams. It's gonna be epic. Tell your friends. Get here early. You got to see the Song Schoolers kick some ass up on this stage. I'll be emceeing the whole thing again. I really, really appreciate you guys coming out. And we talk songwriting so much. It's been so neat. Is Tim Bloom still around by any chance? Oh, he is? Where is he? Oh, could you come up here?
Yeah, Tim!
I want to do this song with you. This is a song my buddy Tim wrote. We'll do this song and then I'll finish it out with a couple songs, but we'll sing this together. We were camping and
Man, Tim taught me this song that he wrote, Tinkerbell Perfume. I love it so much. We have so much fun singing it. And he does a whistle solo in the middle. Yeah.
You got a whistle right. And play guitar?
Yeah.
We'll
see how it goes.
I'll sing harmony. Like we've done it, yeah. The way we did it on Letterman.
I don't remember that at all.
Dudes, I'm having so much fun. This should be illegal.
The end is near!
Now we're partying. Now it's a party. Okay.
I've kissed my share of lady friends, and Cupid's been seen leaving my room, but I've had it up to my guts, I guess, with Tinkerbell perfume. Remember the edge of the river, you stood over me in the shade of a tree, wearing nothing but your fireman's boots and Tinkerbell perfume. And oh, you backstage ladies, it's fun having you in the room, but I've had it up to my guts, I guess, with Tinkerbell perfume. That we struck in your stepfather's truck, that I'd never see you again. It was not to be, you are all I see, my darling, my downfall, my friend. And oh, fun having you in the room, but I've had it up to my guts, I guess, with Tinkerbell perfume. I've had it up to my guts, I guess, with Tinkerbell perfume.
Yeah.
I'll always love you. I just want you to know. Like, sometimes at night I think about you. I nobody can hear this. No, I just want you to know that time we went camping really meant a lot to me. Ladies and gentlemen, Tiplin. That's a good bit. I got to remember that. It's called the secret hidden microphone. I just came up with it right here, you guys. Holy shit. The secret microphone bit. Oh, man. Hey, is my wife around?
Where is she? Oh, okay. If sometimes you guys wonder how to write a song, for those of you that are here right now, this is how you write a song. Go like this. Take your guitar and make your E string a C. Go all the way down to a C, and then make your A string a G. Okay? So you take that down to there. It's gonna make your D string go out. It'll make it sharp. Don't worry about it. Fix it. Then you have everything like that, right? So what you have is your guitar is tuned to C, G, D, G, B, E. Everything's the same. So you're stuck to write a song. Then take out a capo, put it on the third fret, okay? And then go like this. Listen to the chord it makes. It's really pretty. And then come up with a thing, a lick on the guitar, and go like this. Again. You up and then start going like this and record it. Now your natural instinct is going to be to follow that melody with some words going. So you'd be like, I'm trying to write a song. I'm in the desert. What could go wrong? So you're going to want to do that. But instead, as you're going on your walk, just listen to this. And then instead, come up with a melody that goes a little different than what that's doing. So then you have a song. So here goes. When you're older, like me, you see things differently. Lying on the pavement, staring at Mars, pondering the universe, connecting all the stars. The world can be so cold and mean, it can almost make you cry. Kings and queens, sorry, king, I got it, kings and queens, and magazines, and everyone is in disguise. Lying on a hillside, staring at Mars, pondering the universe, connecting all the stars. The world can be so lush and green, it can almost make you cry. Filled with endless possibilities until the day you die. Connecting all the stars. Lying on a hillside, staring at Mars, pondering the universe, connecting all the stars. Guys, have a beautiful sleep tonight, and you think of all the stars up there. It's gonna be beautiful out there tonight, and when you look up, think about this next song, and think about how I went over to John Mylander's house, and John Mylander plays violin, fiddle in Bruce Hornsby's band, and he's from San Diego, and he's just this legendary fiddle player. And I was with my friend Anthony DaCosta, and we were in East Nashville, and we were walking around the neighborhood, and we go, let's pop over to John Mylander's house. And so we went over to his house, and we're there, and we're sitting there on John Mylander's porch, and we did what we do, and Anthony grabbed a guitar and he goes, let's write a song. And we wrote this song on John Mylander's porch. And I want you to think about this song tonight because it really pertains to where we are. Where's the heat when you need it? Oh. Sorry. Where's the heat when you need it? Colder than it should be. I remove the AC from my window. I want to sweat you out of me. was floating down my own path, like a drunken butterfly. Put me back in my cocoon, I wanna sleep it off tonight. Why not is what I thought. I could always move again. Stardust and satellites, we're all made of moving parts and broken hearts, and we're all just floating. Where's a friend when you need one? I'm older than I should be. Maybe I should have stayed in California. It's pretty much its own country. I was dreaming down my own path, like a ragged raconteur. Put me back in my own cell, where I know I'll get the cure. Why not? It's what I thought. I could always move again. Stardust and satellites, we're all made of moving parts and broken hearts, and we're all just floating. Take a page from a new book, a shot of something pure. Take a picture of a memory. Chances are it's blurred. All right, is Maya DeVitri still here? If she is, let me know. If not, no worries. Or if Tim Bloom's around, no worries. But if not, I love you guys. I just want to thank them. I want to thank Amber Rubarth. I want to thank my wife Sharon for ironing the iron-ons on the Bahutinsy bags, which was really cool. I mean, that took a lot of work for always coming with me on the road. With my workaholism. And I want to thank my very first guitar teacher. He was cool. That guy was great. He came over to our house and taught me guitar. My parents for hiring him to teach me guitar. I want to thank this warm sweater. And okay, warm good. Anybody, I would love to know one thing. Doing what you're doing, I love you. And you know, I took that lesson from my guitar teacher, and it was so cool because when he showed up, he had a wooden leg and a
and a glass eye. And my first guitar lesson was he popped his glass eye out of his eye socket and asked me if I wanted to hold it. I was 6 years old and I was too scared. And I've always regretted not holding that glass eye, always. And then years went by and I regretted it. And about 6 months ago, I went on the road with my friend Sean Mullins and my friend Chris Barron. Sean Mullins had this big hit that goes, "Everything's gonna be all right, rockabye." And Chris Barron was in a band called the Spin Doctors and had a big hit that went, "If you want to call me baby, just go ahead." Great song, I love it. 1, 2, Prince is here before. And he also did, "Little Miss, Little Miss, Little Miss Can." I loved him. And so there they were, and they say, "We want to put together three people," and they have each of them has a hit that brings in mailbox money. And mine was the song "You Remember Me," that you know that I wrote with Jewel. So we'd go out and we'd do it Nashville in the Round style, and we would play these songs. So my very first gig, it's in Michigan, and the guy who puts on the festival that's paying me says, "Hey, listen, my daughter's going to pick you up at the airport. Look for a girl, probably wearing short shorts. She's blonde hair. She's 21 years old. She's beautiful, and she'll be picking you up at the airport." And I was like, all right. So I knew what I was looking for. So I'm in the baggage claim area, and this girl with long legs, shorts on, beautiful, blonde hair, just comes walking through. Everybody in the airport's like this, parting like Noah's Ark, like, or whatever, the Red Sea. Everybody was just like, and then she walks up and she goes, "Hi, I'm Carolyn." And she sticks her hands out and shakes my hand. Well, my gatekeeper's asleep, as I've told you, and words just come out of my mouth. And I look at her, and her eye was kind of looking a little different than the other one. I go, "Do you have a glass eye?" And she goes, "Yeah. How'd you know?" I go, "Well, my first guitar teacher had one when I was 6, and he popped it out and asked me if I wanted to hold it, but I was too scared, and I've always regretted that." And she goes, she looks at me like, "That's the first thing you're saying to me?" I go, "I know, that sounds weird." So she takes me back to the hotel where I'm staying and everything. She goes, "Listen, you have 4 shows with these guys. If you're really good, I'll let you hold my glass eye." Well, I have never played better in my life. I mean, like, I was beyond good. I did the best. I didn't screw up any words. I did the show because I knew there was a reward waiting for me, more than money could ever buy. So, after we finish the show, her parents get pizzas for us all, and we're sitting on this deck, and they go, "Steve, come out here. We have a gift for you." And there's a light on, and Caroline comes down, and she's got an eye patch on. And then they say, "Here, you can hold this." So they let me hold her eye, and they take a picture of me holding her eye. And I couldn't believe it. They let me do it. And I go, "This is so beautiful. This is like Steve Wozniak showing up after he invented Breakout." And I proceed to tell them the whole story. "This is like Tammy Burch showing up with the dried saliva smell that's still on my lip." And they're looking at me like, "What the fuck is wrong with this guy?" By now, they're looking a little bit scared, like, "Stranger danger." And so one thing leads to another. I go back out on the road. I go to Kiamo. I play in all these different places. Next thing I know, their parents fly in to see me at a show with their daughter Caroline. They go, "We just love you so much. We had to fly out to see you again." Yeah. So I play my show and they go, "We have a gift for you. Caroline got a new eye. We're giving you this, and we made it into a necklace." And they drilled a hole through it. And this is her eye. Look at that. That is her real eye that she had in. And I am so into body parts. So I have this, and I wear it around my neck like this. And it helps me see things more clearly. It is so awesome. And that was her real eye, and they drilled a hole through it. So tonight, some of you don't know, but we're going to hand out sticks, and whoever gets the shortest sticks, I've okayed this with Barnett, and we have a meat cleaver. We're going to cut off somebody's finger, just your little one, though, and dry it out. Because, no, we are. This is going to happen, okay? So, and then what we do is we petrify it, and I'm going to add it to my chain of souvenirs.
I don't think so. I'd like to invite up my friends to sing this last song with me, Tim Bloom and Amber. I can't believe that story. And the crazy thing is it's true. I gotta remember how I did that laugh. We're gonna sing a song by Bob Dylan, and you're all gonna sing with us. It's called Forever Young. You're each gonna do a verse. I'll feed you the verse. I'll do the first verse so you'll see how it goes. Don't be scared. And then we're gonna sing the chorus. It's gonna be epic. Nothing can go wrong because everything is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously. Wabi sabi.
Right place.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah. May God bless and keep you always. Oh, he said there's another mic over there if you want, but I like you guys together. I like you guys sharing. Maya, Devitri. Oh, good, you're here. You got that mic. Plus, we don't have a picture of the four teachers. Would somebody take one? We need this memorialized. Maya Devitri, get up here. Woo! Oh my God, this eyeball thing is freaking me out.
Oh, you got 100 pictures.
Keep punch. Thank you. Now we have a picture. Okay, here goes.
Couple megabytes.
May God bless. Oh, stay up here and sing. Yeah, good, okay. May God bless and keep you always, and may your wishes all come true, and may you always do for others, for Paul, and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay. Forever young. Now the chorus just goes, forever young, may you stay forever young, but not that fast. Forever young. Forever.
May you grow up to be true.
May you always know the truth.
May you always know the truth.
See the lights around you.
And see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous. Stand upright and be strong. And may you stay. May you stay forever.
Oh, yeah! Forever young! Goddesses dance! Forever young! May you stay! May you stay!
Always be
May
busy.
Your feet always be swift.
May your feet always be swift.
May you have a strong foundation.
May you have a strong foundation. When the winds of change shift.
May you always be courageous.
May you always be courageous. Stand upright and be strong. May you stay. Forever young.
Nice.
May God bless and keep you always.
Your wishes all come true.
Let's do them both in a row. Bless and keep you always.
May your wishes all come true.
May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others. And let others do for you.
Always may you build a ladder to the stars.
Will you build a ladder to the stars? Climb on every rung, may you stay. Forever young.
Oh, come on. Let's do this.
Forever young.
You guys now. Here's gonna go forever young.
Forever young. Forever young.
You stay.
God bless you.